this episode of The Commercial Break.
Like, once you see it, you can't unsee it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Children, lock your doors.
Lock your doors. That's it. I'm going to have like a little, I think I'm going to get like a little sign made.
Just use the scrunchie roll.
Yeah, EPM in progress. You know what I'm saying? And just EPM in progress. And I'm just going to hang it out the front door. Next sticker, EPM in progress. Write it in the book. There it is.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is the director of Tyranny, Christina. Sorry, Tina. Tina, best to you, Tina.
Best to you, Brian.
Oh, my gosh. So, with so many people, you know, with all the seats changing, I'm having a hard time keeping up with the names.
Well, we got Christina's and Chrissy's.
Christina's. And there's something, like, embedded into my brain after 6,000 hours of this stupid show. That I'm just like, you know, best to you, Chrissy.
Yeah.
And so you're
best
Christina,
you, Chrissy,
Tina.
Anyway.
Yeah. Best to all of you. Best to everybody. Whatever your name is. So thanks for joining us back in the program. Chrissy's taking a couple additional days off to be with family. And so Tina has joined me in studio. Thank you.
Happy to be here.
Happy to have you. So happy to have you. I want you to take a guess on something. If the Beatles were to sell one of their Grammy Awards, of which they received, I think, a bunch. If they were to sell one of those on the open market, take a guess at how much the open market might pay for a Grammy won by one of the Beatles.
20,000.
20,000?
I don't know.
20,000? Even living under a rock? I'm not talking 20,000?
Another zero? 200, maybe.
20,000? Really?
I wouldn't pay that for it.
Okay. I would have thought 20 million. Like, I would have thought this is clearly a prized piece for any collector. A Grammy won by the Beatles. Handed to one of the Beatles. But I am wrong. I am closer to you than I was closer to my own guess, which is they say it's going to go for about $500,000, half a million bucks.
Wow.
To me, that seems like a rather small amount of money to pay for a Grammy won by the Beatles. Wouldn't you think?
I don't know.
Why?
I mean, it's who does it actually have any value to? I mean, besides the Beatle himself?
What does a pixelated dick pic have value? And people pay that shit on NFTs all the time.
I don't value things the same way other people do. I'd rather have a beach house, honestly.
I'd rather have a beach house, too. But if I'm buying a $500,000 Grammy, it's likely...
Tchotchke.
It's likely I also have a beach house. Do you know what I'm saying?
Probably
there's some
so.
Expendable cash running around. Could be a huge investment. You never know. But I would think... that it would go for a lot of money.
It's only worth what someone's willing to pay for it.
Well, goddamn, get on the stick, guys. Someone pay some ridiculous amount of money so we can talk about how you waste your cash. Please. It's like that girl who did the $59 million wedding at the Palace of Versailles.
Out of control.
And then the guy went to jail. Yeah, he's going to jail. Maybe for the rest of his life.
Insane.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? But, you know, I think you're right about this. There's a huge collectibles market.
Yes.
And there are a lot of people, including professional athletes, all investors, hedge funds, all kind of people who get in on this action.
Sports memorabilia is huge. Yeah.
They're selling Pokemon cards for millions of dollars.
I hope my kids have some of those.
Oh, my God. I go to McDonald's. I don't know. It was like 4 months ago, 5 months ago, whatever. We go through McDonald's. I get the happy shit a meal or whatever the kids are eating. And they have Pokemon cards that they're giving away as the Happy Meal
prize.
So the kids are, with their greasy ketchup fingers, are trying to open those things. And I'm like, God, slow down. Slow down.
I got to look this up first.
First of all, let's put on some cloth gloves. Let's disinfect the entire area. Let's get a magnifying glass out. I need cameras with four angles. Get into the studio.
Give me the Pokemon. Eat your nuggets.
Yeah. Don't worry about the Pokemon. You're too young to understand it.
You can't even read.
Yes. I was just hoping upon it. I know. My kids are like, what's a doddleboodle? And I'm like, I don't fucking know, but it's worth $1 million.
Yeah, we're going to put it on eBay.
That's right. That's right. This is my next Dick Chasey collection. Happy Meal Pokemon cards. I am flabbergasted that people are paying this kind of money for these Pokemon cards. But to the Pokemon collecting world, of which a lot of now professional business people are getting involved.
It's so crazy.
It's a thing. If a Pokemon card can go for $14 million, why in the fuck is Paul McCartney's Grammy not worth at least $1 million?
Yeah.
I just don't understand.
That's a fair question. Yeah. It is, yeah.
I would not pay that. That wouldn't be my where I would waste my money.
Nope.
But I had 26 children, so I got quite the college fund I
you
need to get together.
You got plenty of places to put that money.
Even if I wanted to, Astrid would be like, I don't think so, Brian. I don't think for one fucking second you're going to buy anything that is not approved by me first, because those kids are going to school, and I don't care what you say about your stupid Grammy. She would also say, why are we buying a Grammy? What, hey, who's...
For, yeah.
I know. She said the same thing about the Pearl Jam posters. For a hot minute, I was like, ooh, I want to buy this one. Ooh, I'm going to buy that one. You know how much they're worth? Much less than what I bought them for.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm keeping track on that. The only collectibles in the world that lose value are the ones that I start collecting, and I'm just glad I stayed out of the NFT world, because that would have been a hot disaster had I done that. The NFTs, those NFTs... I never understood it in the first place.
No.
And I think a lot of people are now coming to the realization that the NFT concept has a lot of value. There's value there. Something's going to happen with the NFT world. It's not gone away. It's not going away. However, trading pixelated art for millions of dollars makes little to zero sense.
Yes.
Because I can literally take a picture of your Bored Ape and keep it on my
and
phone
feel
if
like
I want
to. Yeah. Myself. Yeah.
And the only thing, you know, I understand there's perks like parties and get togethers and all that other stuff. Yes. That's the whole thing about those Bored Apes is you get to be in the Bored Ape Yacht Club, I think is what they call it, or Bored Ape something.
Do you have to have a yacht?
I would highly doubt that most Bored Ape collectors have a yacht. Maybe they have a glass bottom boat.
Hey,
maybe that's a thing they have.
Party barge
in Texas. Really? That surprised me. We were talking about a friend who had a job once as a glass bottom boat driver.
Party barge captain.
Was it a party barge?
It was a party barge.
And but we see like in Galveston where you could actually go out into the ocean.
Victoria.
Yeah. Isn't that like coast. Brackish, weird water in Texas?
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's not beautiful.
Like when I think of going to like, you know, the white sand beaches of Ocalapa, Florida or something like that, I don't think of going to the white sand beaches of
Galveston, Texas.
Isn't it just like an oil refinery or something? I'm so misinformed. Somebody correct me. But I don't think of the beaches of like, you know,
no.
Texas. So glass bottom boat, you're just going out there to drink essentially.
Yeah.
You're going to hope that you find a dead body. Let's be honest about it. Everyone's hoping that a dead body shows up and you're all of a sudden a part of some true crime podcast that
That's
you can
right.
break down and we'll find who killed this lady. So the Bored Apes, the whole concept around Bored Apes and why they are so still very expensive is because you belong to an exclusive club where you get exclusive.
Can't you
shit.
Just join a country club or polo fields or?
Yeah. I think this is our new polo fields. You know what I'm saying? I'd be surprised if the country clubs survive much longer. I mean, it's a horrible amount of money to pay to show up. I mean, I guess you have a bar, you know. I guess it's your like your own bar. Whatever people are into.
I guess.
But I don't know about the country clubs. That's not for me. But then again, I don't have enough money to get into a country club. So
me, yeah, me either.
I just don't ever think about country clubs.
Also, not sure that's where I would waste my money if I could.
Only if it was like there was a good reason to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Like all of my friends were already part of the country club.
Every single one of my friends
Every
was already part of the country club. There was a blowjob station or some glory hole in the clubhouse or something like that. Like
blow
there
had to karaoke. Be like a
yeah, the blowjob karaoke. That's right. Cockyoke. Cockyoke. somebody would have to present me with some kind of fantastic perk. In yes. order for me to pay a yearly fee, and then on top of that, annual dues and all this other stuff. We belonged one time to like a beach club.
Mm-hmm.
We had some property and we belonged to the beach club that was in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I just didn't at the end of the day see the value in it. It
like
had a pool.
The community association.
Yeah, the community yeah, association. Yeah. But it was like a little bit more exclusive than that. Like you had to pay a little bit of extra money to get into this particular
sure.
beach club. And yeah, you had beach chairs whenever you needed them. But you can go to Walmart and buy beach chairs. You know what I'm saying?
You can, but you have to drag those out yourself.
Well,
so I see the
I have been known as a very lazy person, but I think I can drag the beach chairs. I'm that dad.
I'm paying the $40. I'm not taking the chairs. The cooler is enough.
Well, when I go, well, this was, we had a home there, right? We had a place there.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
That, you know, that we were renting out when we weren't there, but, or a condo is probably a small, shitty condo built in the 50s. But I was that dad. I was carrying everything on my back.
And I did that for a few years.
But I'm with you. If I go on vacation, this is where I spend my money. Not on a Grammy, but no. I will not for a second think twice about paying that person $10 on the beach, $20 on the beach, so that I can go ahead and get my little corner of paradise.
Yes.
In the front row.
Set my umbrella.
That's
give me the
it.
Chairs.
Yep. I want shade.
Yep.
If you can bring a cocktail to those who want one, I certainly would appreciate it. But that's not your style. That's okay. We'll bring our own. Like when we went to Spain, you go to Spain and there are some beaches where the local government allows a private company to sell the chairs on these yep. beautiful beaches in Spain, right? So there's, you know, I don't know, 10 euros per chair. Maybe you can get 40 euros. You can get a little umbrella with a couple of different chairs, you know, like a little area.
Yeah.
And then they have the government run chairs, that's which are weird. Out 24 hours a day, and they have someone that comes around, cleans them up, and makes them appropriate. But you actually put the money in a box like you would in an old parking lot, right?
Okay.
Tell me which number. System. Yeah, the honor yeah. system. And then you get a little key, and then that key has a little locker on the back of the umbrella so you can do the whole thing. That is like 2 euros. It's nothing.
That's crazy. I wish our great United States would do that.
Our great United States will not do that. This is why we need America to be great again, kids. Speaking of NFTs, Donald Trump's on his second NFT collection. Did you see that?
No.
He's like, you know, help support my legal defense fund. Help support the legal defense fund by buying these great NFTs. And they're all like caricatures drawn of Trump. But the difference in this like series too, this I read the fine print, by the way, and I want you to hear this. So these Trump cards are announced sometime over the last couple of weeks. Go to this website. You can buy one or you can buy 47 of them because he was the 47th president, right? Oh, mm-hmm. If you buy the whole collection, which is 47, then you get a piece, a strip of the clothing that Donald Trump wore to be jailed here in Atlanta. So he took the suit and he cut it up. Yeah. My beautiful suit is sitting everywhere. You know, my beautiful suit is in tatters and I'm ready to send it to you.
This somehow is more entertaining to me than the Grammy. A piece of Trump's jailware?
A piece of Trump's jailware. He says it's the single most important artifact in American history because he will never surrender. However, I think he fails to understand that the suit that he wore to surrender to jail
the irony is not is the, lost.
Yeah, the never surrender doesn't work. I don't care what your political leanings are. That's just either. Clear as That's, day. Yeah. You did surrender and now you're shredding up the suit and selling it. Okay, whatever. You got some legal bills that are clearly mounting.
Yeah.
So fine, whatever. 47 cards, piece of the clothing, and you get to go down to a party at Mar-a-Lago.
Okay.
Okay.
Now,
see, now
we've got
there
perks.
You go. This is an NFT. This is what we're talking about, yeah. right? There's perks to this.
Okay.
And I can clearly see this is going to sell out lickety split.
Surely.
I don't know how many pieces you
how
get
much?
Out of a suit. It's like $99 per card or something like that.
Okay.
So, you know, you spend $5,000.
Okay.
Yeah, you spend $5,000. You get an invite to Mar-a-Lago. They make it clear they're paying for nothing except for the dinner that you attend.
Oh.
They also make it clear that you cannot resell the cards at least for 1 year.
What about the piece of the suit? Because here's where I think the real money
is. This is where the money is. Because how many pieces of a suit could you really get out
honestly,
of it?
Honestly.
I mean, he's a big boy. So there's,
it's true.
You know,
and is it the shirt, the tie?
He says the suit.
Just the suit.
That's what he said in this video that he made to introduce it. But I've got to imagine that if they sell well, he's going all the way down to the underwear. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's where the real money
the
is.
Socks,
then you're going to pay like $10,000 a card. Socks.
The confiscated shoelaces.
That's right. Depends. Whatever it is. He's going to go all the way. He's going to go all the way to the
bottom. Oh, not the diaper eating lady.
Well,
she's coming after
She's coming
it.
After Donald's. Be careful, Donald. There are some weird people out there. That might go in your favor. You could sell that one thing.
She would smell that for at least a week.
That goes for $500,000.
Right.
That goes for $500,000. And I can see paying $500,000 for that.
Donald's wet diapers.
Yeah, the diaper that I pissed in as I was surrendering to never surrender. Oh,
gross.
And that's as close as we get to politics on the show, kids.
That's right, guys.
You know, listen, I get it. He has to raise money to he should have a legal defense. That absolutely should be something he should do.
What piece of clothing could you sell to raise money?
I don't know. The Save Ferris shirt that never seems to get off my back, that has permanent sweat stains and smells like my deodorant even after I wash it. That's what I could sell. And unfortunately, I just don't think we're getting $99 for that. I mean, I guess
we
I could cut
try.
It up. We could try. I'd give it all to charity. I don't know what charity. This charity, the commercial break. Feed the commercial break. I think I could probably sell the Save Ferris shirt. I think that's one thing that anybody who watched the YouTube, but unfortunately no one watches the YouTube, so there we go.
146 views.
146 views. I fart and get more views.
It's my favorite comment of all time.
It's my favorite comment of all time, to which I really wanted to respond. I agree. Tell YouTube to stop shadow banning me.
Tell us the secret. Yeah.
Yes. Tell the YouTube to stop shadow banning us. I think this is a thing. I think we got shadow banned for some reason or another. Maybe it's all the TLC shit that we put on. I mean, I don't know. Who knows?
But it's very strange.
It's very strange. So we put out this video on Steve-O. And over the course of a couple of days, it just didn't go anywhere. Like, it did nothing. One of our videos has, like, I don't know, 170,000 views. But most of them, a large majority of them, get less than 5,000 views. Because either no one watches it or we're shadow banned. That's the only thing I can think of. There are much dumber podcasts out there that get much more views.
Yep.
And I'm saying that knowing how terrible we are. So
very mediocre.
Extremely mediocre. We ride the edge. I think sometimes we get a laugh, but most of the time we're just dumb. And so some guy is a couple hundred views, and some guy says, I get more views
when I record
a fart. I agree with you, bro.
Which is just audio, unless he's actually recording, you know.
The actual
patootie tang? Yeah.
Yeah, the patootie tang.
The taint.
Listen, I get it. And by the way, I think that's going to be he's our new lead writer on the show. He's funnier than we are. All right, let's take our first break. I got lots more to talk about, and Tina's here with me. So grateful to have you in the chair, Tina.
So happy to be here.
Okay, we'll take a short break, and then we will, we'll come back. Why not?
Look, I know you guys are getting really sick of me, but that is too bad. It's my job. Now, go to tcbpodcast.com for all of our audio and video content, and get your little booty over to youtube.com/thecommercialbreak for fully edited video episodes. Want to chat? Leave us a voicemail at 626-ASK-TCB3. Too embarrassed for your voice to be on the show? We understand. Text us instead at 855-TCB-8383. Can't even do that? No worries. Just follow us on TikTok at TCB Podcast and on Instagram at The Commercial Break. And if you can't even be seen doing that, just listen to these sponsors and let's get back to the show.
Hey, everybody. Wanted to let you know that this episode is sponsored in part by Factor. Okay, do you want to know what the single biggest challenge for me as a single person was? Shopping for, prepping, and cooking nutritious meals. Do you want to know what the biggest challenge for me as a human with 25 to 60 family members living in my house? Shopping for, prepping, and cooking a nutritious meal. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, it's a big stress point around here. And since I don't really know how to cook, that stress often falls on other family members. But this holiday season, we're going to try something different. Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal delivery service, can help us fuel up fast for breakfast, lunch, and dinner with chef-prepared, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to our door. Because Factor's never-frozen meals are ready in just 2 minutes, all you have to do is heat and enjoy. You can choose from over 35 weekly flavor-packed, fresh and never-frozen meals that support a healthy lifestyle and meet your meal preferences. And guess what? It's all delivered right to your front door. With Factor, we can be assured that we're making sustainable choices. They offset 100% of their delivery emissions and source 100% renewable electricity for their production sites and offices. Hey, look at that, a company who's trying to do some good. So head to factormeals.com/commercialbreak50 and use the code commercialbreak50 to get 50% off. That's code commercialbreak50 at factormeals.com/commercialbreak50 and get 50% off. We also want to thank Factor for being a sponsor of The Commercial Break. All right, and we're back with Tina on
Hi, Brian.
The Commercial Break. I love how Dr. Phil said our name. The Commercial Break. All right, Doc Phil, thanks. Appreciate it. Hey, speaking of Doc Phil, what do you think about Ozempic?
Oh, I think it should be pulled from the market.
You think it should be pulled from the market? You feel that strongly about
it? Yeah. My cousin passed away at the top of the year from an Ozempic situation.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not.
What happened, if you mind sharing?
Well, she was on it. She started having like heart flutters. She's 38 years old.
Palpitations and stuff like that.
So her dad is my godfather, actually, a surgeon here in Atlanta. And he was like, stop the Ozempic immediately. She stopped it. The heart flutters went away. She thought,
I'll start it again. Yeah.
And she went into cardiac arrest, and they couldn't get to her fast enough because her dog was out of the crate. So when the paramedics showed up,
he tried to attack them.
No, they waited for animal control before they even went in the house.
Oh, Jesus Jones. Yep. You're kidding me.
Nope.
Isn't that like a dereliction of duty or something
I'm
like
serious.
That?
I'm serious. Yeah.
That's, yep. Is there a lawsuit, I hope, sometime with someone?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, I understand. It's a tough situation, sticky situation.
Yeah.
You know, Ozempic, I know, I have friends that are on Ozempic, and I've not used it, and no one that I know super close.
They're like, saying like 12 people a day are dying from it.
I just watched a special on 60 Minutes Australia about a gentleman who had a wife. The kid, their daughter was getting married. The wife really wanted to fit into a dress.
Mm-hmm.
And so for 6 months, she was on Ozempic. And she was constantly throwing up, constantly having diarrhea, constantly having problems, headaches and stomach issues and heart palpitations and all this other stuff. Yep. And she went to the doctor. The doctor was like, went to the doctor that was not prescribing her Ozempic. And he's like, listen, I suggest you stop the Ozempic because it's not, we don't really know all the ramifications of taking it in this manner. And it may be causing a lot of your issues. But she just refused because she wanted to get in that dress, yep. And she was losing weight.
Yep.
So husband, I think the story goes, woke up one day, makes some coffee, gets some breakfast. Wife's not out of bed yet. He goes upstairs and she's aspirated on her own puke.
Yep.
And he was just too late. He had to save her. So I have friends who are on Ozempic who also are, one of them made a joke. She said, I don't know. I was going over to see Chrissy or something, and some friends were coming along, and one of the friends was on Ozempic, and I said, hey, listen, I'll stop by and get some donuts. You can bring some coffee, whatever. And she said, yeah, bring the donuts. I shouldn't eat them, but don't worry. Ozempic will take care of it. And she had like this, you know, she put this like emoji of, or this picture of, you know, poop sliding down a slide, right? And I was like, oh, okay. Well, you know, I guess that's,
okay.
Yeah. And I don't know all the medical ramifications of taking Ozempic, but now I've got friends that are taking it, so I know it's a very popular thing to do, because when my friends start taking it, you know, then
the trend is definitely made its way made into, its,
yeah, that's right. It's so, but lots of people are losing weight on it also. Mm-hmm. And one of the people who has been questioned about that is Oprah. And so Oprah recently said, listen, I'm done shaming other people. I take Ozempic along with eating right and doing exercise, and I don't want to be shamed about it, and I'm not going to shame anybody else about it. Like, it's part of my medical, you know, it's part of what I do, is my medical regimen, my health care. And who amongst us wouldn't like to lose 10 to 15% of our body weight?
Sure.
Right? But I also sense that there probably is no good shortcut to that, right?
You just probably
have to eat right, exercise.
Do a little exercise, move your body around,
And then I think there probably are medical cases where it's clear that some kind of medical intervention needs to happen.
I think Ally is one of the better ones out there.
Ally?
Yeah.
Oh. We're not pitching these, by the way.
Just saying. There are some things you can take that are not as tragic as Ozempic.
Yeah. Well, here's the hope, and, you know, they figure out what's going on with Ozempic so that they can...
I just don't know how it got on the market with all these problems.
It's a diabetes drug, and people realized that they were losing weight on it. Like, they were losing their appetite, and we didn't want to eat as much. They were losing weight, and so there you go. Off-label. I think it's still off-label, isn't it? I don't think that the FDA has approved Ozempic for weight loss. I don't know.
No, not for weight loss, for diabetes.
For
treatment.
Diabetes, yeah. Right.
Type 1 diabetes, if I'm not mistaken, because that's why my cousin was taking it.
And isn't there people who actually need that medication? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just being... erroneously prescribed, perhaps.
Well, if you're on Ozempic, good luck to you on your weight loss journey. I'm not here to determine whether or not that's good for you or not good for you. And I'm not here to tell you to take it or not take it. And I don't care. Like, my personal feelings are, if that's where you feel you are, go for it. Just be aware that, you know, there may be some side effects. So here's what led me to think about Oprah in the first place. Did you see this Drew Barrymore interview that Oprah did?
No.
Oprah went on Drew Barrymore's show. And I don't know if you, and by the way, love Drew Barrymore.
Love
I think
Drew.
Drew is just a kind, gentle soul. She's a scattered hot mess, but so am I. So the both of us are peas in a pod. But she goes on this, Oprah goes on Drew Barrymore. And Drew has this couch where she sits with some of her guests. Mm-hmm. And when she sits with those guests, she gets like really super close to them. She like puts one knee up on the couch and then she moves in, and on occasion she'll do like the touching, the knee or the shoulder, whatever. She grabbed Oprah's hand at the beginning of the interview and would not let it go. You could even see at one point Oprah like pulled her hand away and Drew grabbed the other hand. She just adjusted her grip.
No.
And now Oprah claims that she did not feel any discomfort, but I think it's pretty clear from the videotape, which I'm not going to show here because it's the Drew Barrymore show and I don't want a cease and desist notice.
Yeah.
But it's clear to me that Oprah looks uncomfortable by Drew just...
if you pull your hand,
yeah,
you draw back, that is definitely a sign of discomfort. How strange.
How strange. Oprah is probably not used to having people physically interact with her like that, right? I'm sure Oprah has this probably Pavlovian response to people reaching out to touching her, which is leave me alone. Because when you're that famous...
Yeah, no touchy.
No touchy.
No touchy.
No ticky, no tacky, no touchy, no watchy, you know? That's why she bought a whole island in Hawaii or whatever. She wants to get away from people, not be near them. And she's like probably the most famous woman on earth, I would
probably
guess. And maybe the one of the most famous people on earth. And this whole interview is just a little bit cringe. And I wonder what's going through Drew's head. And not that she can't touch Oprah. I mean, that's up to her, them, I guess. But I just wonder what's going through her head, why she has to get so physical with her guests. She did the same thing with... Jada Pinkett Smith, when she came on, she was like really up in her face, very close.
Is she like needy for human connection?
I think so.
Yeah, she might be.
Drew kind of had
she had a rough start.
Yeah, wasn't she like doing Blow at 9?
Yeah.
Or something?
Yes.
Yeah, when you do Blow at 9, you're definitely
yes,
going to have some adult therapy issues. You know what I'm saying?
She had to hang out with E.T. That had to be traumatizing at 4. Yeah.
I am traumatized by E.T. to this day. There are scenes in E.T. that I don't want to watch because it takes me back to my childhood when I was really scared. All those tubes coming out of the house, like that made me just E.T. You know, kind of like shuffling around. I always felt it very unnerving. But she also grew up in the 80s when she was a child star in the 80s. There was like a whole brat pack of kids that were running around just doing drugs and drinking at such a young age.
Because all their parents were
in
wasted at the parties
and nobody
was paying attention. And
no.
Yeah, she was in like rehab at 13 or something.
Yeah, we just watched, Chrissy and I just watched, we did like a little Corey Feldman breakdown.
Yeah.
And Corey was talking about, she was saying, when I got sober, you weren't quite sober, but you were there for me. It was a safer place than some of the, I could go to you because you were a safer place than some of the other people that I was around. And Corey was like, yeah, you know, I went into rehab, out of rehab. Now I'm permanently out of rehab, he must be. But to be given cocaine at age 9, yeah, I think that probably causes, you know.
Some attachment issues.
Some attachment issues.
Yes.
And then I think she had a rough relationship with her mother or her father or something like that.
Probably all of them.
I love Drew. I think Drew's, you know, good for her in the show and, you know, what kind of like a renaissance of her career.
Sure.
But you don't have to be so fucking close
touchy
to people.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's I don't like touching people.
Especially after the COVID times. We don't do that anymore.
It's so weird to think that just 2 years ago, we were 6 feet apart with masks on everywhere that we went.
Hugging became a no-no.
Hugging, touching. I thought the handshake would go the way of the dodo bird.
It did.
It did. It has?
I still know a lot of people that only do the knuckle bump.
They only do the knuckle, the fist bump, huh?
No more
shakesy handsies? Yeah. Well, when you think about it, it was probably a bad idea in the first place. I mean, people's palms, they wipe their butts with it, they whack off with it, they touch railings with it.
My brother calls those Coke freestyle machines dick finger machines.
Dick fingers?
He's like, you know, somebody just came out of that bathroom and
had
now
their dick
is
in
picking
their hand.
The Coke.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Thanks, Jason. I will never use one of those machines again. Yet another thing now I can't touch out in public.
You will never look at one of those and not call
never,
it a dick finger machine again.
Never, ever not call it a dick finger. As a matter of fact, I have an image of my own dick just touching that. Like,
just
oh,
using
I'm just
it
sharing
to...
dicks. Yeah. Now I have a vision of multiple people using their dicks to just control the, hey, what do you want, Bob? Ah, give me a Sprite.
Diet Coke.
He just takes out his dick and just starts banging the machine. Holding down the ice button with his half hard. You want some ice in that? Yeah, do me a favor. Give me some ice in that. I appreciate it. Hey, nice schlong there, Tommy. Thanks, buddy.
I got a half hard
back on the mellow yellow. I got a little pee-pee poo-poo in your drink. I hope you don't mind. Ah, shit, I don't care. What do I give a shit? I'm shaking people's hands. Why do I care? I do agree that shaking people's hands was kind of a weird thing in the first place, yeah, when you think about it. But I go to meetings, or I say hello to people, or yep, I'm at the school and introducing myself, and people put out their hands pretty
I'd
regularly.
I'd rather give you a hug, to be quite frank, because this has not been, you know,
yeah, that's
where my
true
palms have been.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I had my morning press conference with the kids in the, yes, in the shitter.
In the poo-poo pee-pee,
yeah,
room.
And I was reading this article about how this lady was saying, she was saying on TikTok, that when you leave the toilet seat open and flush the toilet, it's just about the worst thing that you could,
yeah,
do.
Yeah, it flies,
it flies everywhere. Yeah, yeah, fecal matter just everywhere. And so I think I'm pretty religious about putting the toilet seat down in general.
And shut the door to the water closet, yeah,
shut
so
the
your
door,
toothbrush,
yeah,
doesn't end up with...
That's right. But then my kids just come matter sliding in there. They're just crawling all over the place.
Yep.
My youngest one started to crawl. And she opened the door this morning, like with her head, like pushed the door open. And she was like, da, 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 da. And I was, oh, God, don't be on that floor. Ew. Please, for God's sakes, you're getting pee-pee poo-poo. And then I thought to myself, what do I care?
Forget
that girl's
it
full of shit anyway. Yep. I mean, you know what I'm saying? She's got diapers. She's literally sitting in her own stink for, yeah, half the day. What does it really
just let
matter?
It go.
Yeah, but I'm thinking about moving the morning press conference to some other area, because it's just got me really disgusted after
at
I saw that.
At least it's just family cooties, though.
Yeah, that's true. You all share the same cootie. It's, yeah,
they, I mean, they cough right, my niece and my nephew, right into my mouth. Just right into it.
The baby has like a cold or something.
Yeah, you're eating that.
I know. And then the other day I was watching her, and I had her on my belly. I was laying down, recovering from my balls getting snipped. And I had her on my belly, and I was just kind of bouncing her, and she fell forward. And when she fell forward, this green snot, oh, that was, yeah, just sitting in her nose,
right,
just expelled right into my mouth. And I was like, God.
Vomit.
If she hadn't been laying on me, I would have jumped like I saw a cockroach. You know,
yes,
what I'm saying? I grabbed her, I jumped up, I'm spitting, I'm Listerining the whole, and then I'm thinking to myself, well, she came from me.
Yeah.
What's the big fucking deal? She came from me. I literally saw her full of blood and guts right when she came out. I held her when she still had
sticky and
placenta,
slimy, yeah,
on her. What does, yeah, it really matter at the end of the day? I just told my vasectomy story on air. Like, I mean, there's not much that's left up to the imagination.
Nothing
around
is
here
sacred.
You know what I'm saying? Nothing is sacred at all. I love that girl, but I don't want her snot in my mouth.
I love my, I know. I raised three. I've got a niece and a nephew now. I love them more than anything. I don't want to eat their
boogers.
I just don't.
I'm just not interested. And you know, then the kids get to that age where they're starting to, you know, they get the finger in the nose.
Oh, yeah. They're like, exploring.
They're eating it. And I'm, yeah, like, hey, guys.
Hands in the pants, yeah, hands in the face.
Oh, God. Yeah. They touch their butts.
Everything.
Yeah. They're so
what's
interested.
This?
I know. They're so interested. They're exploring every part of their body, and then they want to, you know, give me a hug or feed me. That's
oh,
the one,
yeah,
thing. One of my kids wants to feed me, and I'm like, I just saw you put your finger in your asshole. Could you not give me that chicken nugget? I certainly would appreciate,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, why is you? I want the cookie you're about to hand me, but why is your hand all wet?
Pee pee poo poo.
Why is it slimy?
Yeah, why is there all that green stuff all over your hand? Hey, what is that? I just picked my nose. I had one of my kids one time when he found that the nose had things in it, you know?
Yep.
He grabbed it and he's like, what's this, Dad? He stuck it right on my nose. Stuck it right on my nose. And I was like, oh, my God. You got to understand, I'm not a normal person when it comes to bodily fluids. I could walk up on the scene of a car accident where someone's head exploded, and I would be in full get-it-done mode. Like, I wouldn't care that there was blood and guts everywhere. But I cannot handle pee-pee, poo-poo,
poo-poo,
and boogers.
I know.
I just can't handle it. It's not something that I can do. And this is another reason why I'm never going to be on Ozempic, is because I don't like the fact that I shit. I don't want to accelerate that.
Yeah.
That's right. I've got Ozempic. It's called my morning coffee.
It's coffee.
Yeah, it's coffee.
Yeah.
The second that I look at that coffee, I'm running down the hallway. There's a handoff that goes on in the morning. It's like, you know, I run to the kitchen and then someone hands me the coffee and then I run
on the way to the bathroom.
Yeah, on the way to the bathroom with my boxers. I'm already pulling my pants down. That's right. I don't even have to drink it, and I'm already in the mode where I'm going to poop. And that's when the kids, you know, run behind me like it's a parade. It's the morning press conference.
We're going to be late.
Yeah. What's Daddy watching on Instagram? Let's see. I know, and I'm always telling them, guys, go get dressed for school. My dad, what am I saying? I have questions.
What are you doing?
I know. Why? That's what I get. 24 fucking hours a day. Why? Why do you eat your boogers? Why do you stick your hand in your butthole and then put it in my mouth? Why do you do those things?
Why is green stuff always, yeah, coming out of your face?
Why are there boogers all over your bedroom wall?
Why?
Because I told you, please do me a favor. This is my rule. Explore. Knock it out. Put your boogers, eat them, cook a meal, stir fry snot. I don't give a shit. But you do it in the bathroom and you wash your hands after you do it.
Yeah.
That's where you go.
Just
you go,
be neat.
Yeah, there are some things you just do in private. It's the same rule I'm going to have about whacking off. Close the fucking door.
Please lock it.
Please lock it. I don't want to walk in on you.
You
don't want me to walk in on you.
I can't undo it.
I can't undo it.
It scarred me for life.
That's right. It's like looking at the business end of a natural birth. Like once you see it, you can't unsee it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Children, lock your doors.
Your doors. That's it. I'm going to have like a little... I think I'm going to get like a little sign made.
Get a little, just use the scrunchie roll.
Yeah, EPM in progress. You know what I'm saying? And just EPM in progress. And I'm just going to hang it out the front door. Next sticker, EPM in progress. Write it in the book. There it is. EPM in progress.
That's amazing. That's as good as
I love it. But I'm going to do it because I'm just going to, I want to be as honest with these children as
you
possible.
You have to be.
You kids, this is how you, did you take this road? Like, hey kids. This is perfectly natural. Normal.
100%.
Go for it. Knock yourself out. Jizz away, kids. Jizz away.
Please, I'd rather you take care of it yourself than seek the help of others.
Don't do it into a t-shirt. Leave our good towels alone. You know, find yourself a nice raggedy-ass cloth, and you're in charge of washing it. Let me show you how to do the laundry.
That's right.
Because that's where I'd prefer that
If you're old enough to EPM, you're old enough to wash the laundry.
Yes. I'd like your protoplasm to go somewhere besides my work shirt. Do you know what I'm saying?
Don't make me peel your socks apart.
You can use my Save Ferris shirt.
That might take more money after a few uses.
Yes, that's right. If you pay for my... Save Ferris shirt. You can use my Save Ferris shirt as a whack off cloth. I don't care. Because, everyone has one and everyone's got to get to this. Did you just tell your children, hey, listen, this is perfectly normal, natural?
100%. Yeah. Well, my daughter, I let my ex-husband handle the talk with the boy.
Good.
Because it's just awkward.
Yeah.
But I bought her, a bullet.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
The kind you do cocaine with or the kind that just
check. And then I did her laundry and washed it. I was like, shit. So I ordered another one. Just left it in her room.
You were like mother of the year. You bought a bullet for your kid?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I'll get one of those.
Listen, like I said, I'd rather you do it on your own.
Good for you.
Figure out your own body before you go sharing it with other people.
Agreed.
So understand yourself first. And then if you can always take care of it.
Then... why do you need anybody else?
Honestly.
Well, the kids aren't having sex these days.
They really aren't.
So they aren't.
I know. It's crazy.
We're going to have a whole problem with this. Mark my words. If we're still here in 20 years, and we will be because this show makes 12 cents an episode. But if we're still here in 20 years, mark my words, there's going to be a birth rate problem. Because
there already is.
The kids aren't having sex.
There already is.
And I say kids,
problem.
I mean late teens, early 20s.
Yes.
They are not having sex.
And they don't want kids.
No. For this, I don't blame them. Actually,
no, they can barely afford to feed themselves.
They really feel the doom and gloom. Mm-hmm. They don't want to bring children into a world that they already see as unfair and fucked up.
Yep.
And in a lot of ways it is. And I totally understand. So don't worry. I got it covered for you because I had 22 children. So don't worry about it. You're good. I got at least a few of you covered out
there. That's right.
All right. Let's take a break. And then I want to talk about the Pogues.
Okay.
You want to talk about the Pogues?
Let's do it.
Let's talk about the Pogues. We'll be right back.
Hello again, my little podcast pals. It's Christina, and I am just here to remind you once again to go on over to tcbpodcast.com because that is where all of our episodes live. Want to get involved with the show? Leave us a voicemail at 626-ASK-TCB3. If you don't want your voice played on the show because, look, I get it, I'm only here under duress, you can text us instead at 855-TCB-8383. And as always, please remember to go follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at TCB Podcast. And also, don't forget about our precious little YouTube channel, youtube.com/The Commercial Break. I promise those videos are worth your time. Now, let's listen to some sponsors and then we'll get back to whatever they were talking about.
All right. So, the Pogues. What do you know about the Pogues?
90s band.
90s.
Grungy.
Punk band. And actually, they were back in the 80s, I think, is when they really, really started. And Shane, the lead singer, writer of the band, he just passed away. And there's a lot of people that are, giving their, it's very viral right now. Mm-hmm. This, I don't know a whole lot about the Pogues. I like the music that I've heard from them. It's kind of like, I don't know. What's the best way to describe their music, do you think? I think you would probably call it like Irish punk. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, let me give you the Wikipedia. So for those of you that don't know who the Pogues are. So the Pogues are an English or an Anglo-Irish Celtic punk band. I was right. Irish punk band, yeah. Right? Shane McGowan and others founded in King's Cross, London, which is where I stayed, actually, when I went to London. I stayed at King's Cross. And so then they had this band. They formed in 1982. They were only around for just a couple of years. And then they did some, like, you know, comeback tours and stuff like that or whatever. They were trying to capitalize on it. By all accounts, Shane McGowan was a good man. He was, like, a super sweet, empathetic human being. So super sweet and empathetic that he left a $12,000 blank check for his funeral bar tab. He wanted his friends to have a good time. That's right. That's the kind of guy I like.
Yeah.
I can drink on your dime even when you're dead.
Yes.
So he passed away. I think he was ill. He was fighting, I think, cancer. He passed away, but there is one song during Christmas time that I cannot wait to fucking hear. There are a couple of them, but there's one that I just can't wait for around Christmas time. And it's the Pogues' New York Fairy Tale. Have you heard this song?
I don't know. I can't.
I know you have.
Yeah,
I'm going to play it for you. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because it gives me a chance to play one of my favorite Christmas songs, quite frankly. And I know there's copyright and all that other bullshit. I just want to play a little bit of it. You'll know it when you hear it. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, here we go.
It was Christmas Eve, babe, in the drunk tank.
So we're watching the video here in the studio, and that is Matt Dillon that is in this video.
An old man said to me, won't see another one. And then he sang a song, the rare old mountain tune. I turn my face away and dreamed about you. Got on a lucky one.
He's such a great man, such an awful set of teeth. But here, for the first 3,000 times I heard this song, I have not a fucking clue what Shane is singing about. Not a clue, but it's like there's some weird, beautiful art happening here, and yes. I just don't know what it is, but
came in 18 to 1. I've got a feeling this year's for me and you. So happy Christmas.
I got that part, so happy Christmas.
I love you, baby. I can see a better time when all our dreams come true.
They got cars big as bars, they got rivers of gold. Thread the windows right through you, it's no place for the old. When you first took my hand on a cold Christmas Eve, you promised me Broadway was waiting for me.
You were pretty queen of New York City. When the band finished playing, they held out for more. Sinatra was swinging, all the drums they were singing. We kissed on the corner, then danced through the night. The boys of the NYPD choir were singing, go away, babe. And the bells were ringing out for Christmas Day.
I mean, it's like such a beautiful song.
Yes.
Such a beautiful song.
Very uplifting now. In the beginning, not so much.
Yeah, there's some
stuck in the drunk tape. It's pretty sad.
I don't understand a fucking word he's saying in the beginning. I mean, I do. I know the lyrics now, but I didn't understand a word that he was saying. But it's just such a brilliant song for Christmas. I just love it. I don't know why. And the boys in the NYPD are playing whatever. I don't know. But it's beautiful. And I loved it. And it touched me in, I don't know, in a way that no other Christmas song has made me feel. And when I first heard it, long, long, long time ago, when I first heard it, I was like, who is this fucking band that put this beautiful song together? Well, it happened to be the Pogues. Well, now Shane's passed away. But I hope this Christmas song lives on forever. I really do.
It will.
I love it. You think so?
Yeah, because you know how Christmas songs live on is you play them for your kids and your kids are nostalgic about it. Then they'll play it for their kids.
I was watching, I was reading about Mariah Carey. You know that this lady who sang, was it Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree or something? It became the number one hit single.
I know that song, but I don't know the lady.
I think I'm not mistaken that Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree was a song that was like, you know, it's like 30, 40, 50 years old.
Yeah.
And the lady who sang that song has never had a top 10 hit until, I think it's called SoundScan, the people who like keep track of the charts, started allowing songs to come back on the charts like perennially. So Christmas songs. So Mariah Carey's is, of course, always up there at the top.
Yeah.
I think with that Wham song. What is that Wham song that they sing? The, you know, George Michael's Christmas tune that he's got there. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think it's just George Michael. I know it. It's on my Christmas list.
Yeah, okay,
list,
all right. But yeah, anyway. So all these people are starting to pop back up on the charts. Well, this lady, after almost 50 years, gets her due when she gets a number one single. I only hope the same thing happens for Shane and his delightful Pogues, because he paid the bar tab after you're dead. That's the thing to do.
I think I'm going to do that.
I need to do this.
Yeah, I'm going
to
go ahead and start saving.
If I had $12,000, listen, $12,000.
I'm going to start saving now.
Yeah, first of all, it's going to take a lot more than $12,000 for my friends.
For my friends, that's for sure.
Because the bar tab is going to turn into the Coke tab, is going to turn into the, you know, hangover tab, is going to turn into the more Coke tab. I just know it's going to go on for days. So I'm going to have to get a lot more than $12,000. But to think about that as a human being, before you pass away, to say, I really want you guys to have a good party.
And so I don't want you to go broke doing it.
That's right. I don't want you to go broke doing it. So I'm paying the bar tab. And the most beautiful thing was they're in this like big, huge church. I'm sure it's somewhere in England or Ireland or something. They're in this big, huge church doing the service. The casket's there in the middle. The priests are all standing there, full regalia. And they're singing this song. There's like, you know, everybody in the church is singing the song. How they know the lyrics, I'm not sure, but I guess they gave a copy out beforehand to let people know.
It's in the program.
Yeah, in the program to let people know what to say. But it's just like this, it seemed that's the way I want to go. Not at the church, but that's the way you send me out, Tina. When you're there, just tell everybody who wants to, you know, frill me up and, you know, say nice things. I don't know who's going to have nice things to say about me, but when they want to do that whole number, just remind them, Shane McGowan, please. Please, Shane McGowan. I want people singing. I want them dancing. I don't want priests in full regalia.
No.
But if priests want to come, that's okay. And I'd like to do it at a dive bar. Actually,
I think that's the appropriate thing to do.
Put the urn right in the middle.
Yep.
And say Brian Green.
Play something. Good on the jukebox.
A son. A pragmatic pragmatist. A terrible guitarist. A mediocre lover. Sometimes funny. Made way too many episodes of The Commercial Break, but he paid the bar tab.
Let's
can we give an applause for the guy who paid for the bar tab? That's for sure. That's for sure. What's your favorite Christmas song?
Oh, I don't know. That's a tough one. I grew up listening to Christmas records, and so we would take turns playing the Andy Williams, the Elvis, the Chipmunks, the Peanuts.
Oh, such
I
good
love
stuff.
The Peanuts.
Yeah. My grandma had like this old hi-fi system. You know what I'm talking about? Like the cabinet. The
That's
big
what we had too. Yeah, the speakers
just,
taller than we were. Yep.
Yeah. It looked, for those of you who are.
It looked like a piece of furniture.
Yeah, it was a piece of furniture.
Yeah, it took was like up a space.
It was like a, imagine just a big, I don't know, chest. The something you would put in the front of your house, like in an entrance of a house or in a bedroom. But instead of having drawers in it, it had speakers on the side that
knobs.
Were. Yeah. Like ornately decorated. Right. And then the top popped up and there was a record player and usually knobs so you could turn on. And my grandma had one that had the 8-track in it, too.
Ooh.
So we had all these 8-tracks of Christmas songs. And, you know, she'd just keep putting in other Christmas album. It's such a good time. And I think one thing so unique about Christmas time is that the most popular songs tend to be the ones that are very old.
Very old.
Very old. It's like we got stuck in some kind of Christmas stasis and no one is making good Christmas music anymore.
And there was a time when, artists wanted to. I remember when Christina Aguilera put out her Christmas album.
Okay.
I did go buy it.
Yeah.
God bless you, child. It was pretty good. But it used to be a thing, like, that's when artists felt like they made it, was when they put their Christmas album out. People don't do that anymore.
They don't do that. Well, I think they think if it's kind of a dud, you know?
Christmas music's already been done. There's nothing more to do.
I don't know if it's already been done. I just don't know how much original content is out there.
They're just re-singing the same old songs that...
It's Christmas. It's Christ's birthday. You can't make a statement like that because then, you know, you're gonna get canceled or whatever.
Yeah.
And so you either sing the classics, claiming that
baby,
I didn't write it.
Outside.
I'm just singing. Yeah, baby, it's cold outside. It's not
rapey,
a song.
Rapey, yeah.
I get it. I totally understand. Yeah. The lyric is a little disconcerting. It's a classic. We can't go changing
just
it.
Just leave it's Christmas.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff from a long time ago that we're not gonna agree with today.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean we have to erase history, right? That's my opinion anyway.
How much more sensitive?
What's that?
I said, how much more sensitive are we supposed to get?
Well, I don't know. Now you can't sing that. And now every time I watch Elf, I think, Elf's going to get canceled pretty soon because they sing that song in the shower scene. Remember?
No. I love that movie.
Baby, It's Cold Outside. Yeah. And he's just met that girl.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I can't remember who plays, which actress plays in that. I can't remember. But anyway, Will Ferrell's character, Elf, meets the girl at the department store, and then he goes there early to set up for Christmas, and he decorates the whole department store and all those wonderful Christmas decorations. And then he's in the bathroom, and she's taking a shower. I don't know why a department store has a shower and why she's taking one there, but okay, let's just run with it. And they start, she's singing Baby, It's Cold Outside, and he starts singing the other part to it. And then they have a little duet going on before she realizes she's being sung to by a creepy elf that's standing outside watching her take a shower. And yeah, okay, I get it. And so every time I watch that scene, I think to myself, this is getting canceled.
This might be
Elf's
the
out the
year.
Way out the door. I think my favorite Christmas song is either The Pogues, but I've always had a little soft spot for Little Drummer Boy.
Carol of the Bells.
Carol of the Bells.
One of my favorites.
I always felt like I was the little drummer boy when I was a kid. You know what I'm saying? I was that kid who would come give Jesus presents, you know. <Ba-dum-bum-bum-bum>.
Oh, little Catholic Brian.
Here's some good cocaine.
It's a fun song.
A little Rochambeau. <Ba-dum-bum-bum-bum>. I know it's cold outside, ba-dum-bum-bum-bum. Why, it's a good time to get high, ba-dum-bum-bum-bum. I love that song.
It's a fun song.
It's a fun song. All the Christmas tunes are fun to sing.
They are, I know. And you can, aside from the Pogues, you can normally make out the lyrics.
Yeah, but
as a kid, you can sing along.
It's true. It's true. You can be in the little Christmas play. Were you in the little Christmas play ever?
Yes, I went to a Christian school, believe it or not, for my first 2 years.
Oh, you did?
I did.
I didn't know that.
Smyrna Christian Academy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I sure did.
And so did they send you to church every once in a while?
Chapel every day.
Oh, really?
After lunch.
Wow, that's very serious.
It was.
Yeah, we went to Mass at least once a week, probably more like twice a week when I was going to Catholic school. And not my favorite part of the day, if I'm being real honest, because those teachers... It was nap time, only the teachers were keeping an eye out specifically for the nappers, of which I was one, you know? And so, and all the sitting and kneeling and standing and sitting and kneeling and standing and sitting and standing.
Yeah, my school didn't do that. It was more Protestant in nature.
Good for the Protestants.
After lunch, you won't expect a bunch of six-year-olds to pay attention to some...
No.
No.
No. Because you know when the worst time in the world to have a meeting or anything you have to pay attention to is?
Right after your
30 minutes before you eat or 30 minutes after you. It's a scientific fact.
Proven.
That's why I don't eat before I do these episodes. Because if I ate before I did these episodes,
they would be
much worse than they already are. And I just don't want to subject anybody to that. So I don't eat. I like to be hungry when I get in here, you know? It gives me fuel. It makes me drive. So I could talk about Christmas songs for 30 fucking minutes. What was that? That one song, it's not a Christmas song. It's actually a New Year's song. I can't remember it. It's like a cheesy love song.
I don't know New Year's music.
You don't know New Year's music?
I didn't know it was a genre.
It's played during Christmas, but I think it's really about New Year's.
Okay.
It's... oh my gosh, now I'm forgetting how it goes because all I have in my head is that fucking Pogues song.
Yeah.
Or Little Drummer Boy, that's right.
Just sing some more of that, it'll come back.
Anyway, there's a song sung by some cheese yacht rocker in the 70s that I just love during Christmas time too. Always brings a little tear to my eye. Christmas time is an emotional time.
It can be.
It can be.
Yep.
It can be. And you know why? It's an emotional time because I know I'm going to go broke every Christmas buying 22 children Christmas presents.
We're all crying right before everyone files bankruptcy in February.
Right. right before the credit card companies start calling us.
It is peak season, by the way. February is peak bankruptcy season.
Because everyone just says, I'm going to blow whatever cash I have on Christmas. I'll deal with it in the new year.
Yep.
Yeah, this is peak denialism season is what it is. And I do have to say this. December 11th is the day when more breakups happen than any other day of the year.
That's pretty crazy.
It's pretty fucking shitty is what it is. You're trying to get out of the relationship right before you have to buy a Christmas present. You're feeling the pressure. You know the relationship's not working out. You're going to have to buy a Christmas present. And you say, you know what? Let me do it before Christmas.
I know somebody that actually did do a breakup on December 11th.
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah. I remember. Oh, was that December 11th?
Not me, but someone else I know, yes.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Seriously? Mm-hmm. Wow. See, I read it, and it's true.
It's true.
Hey, fuckers.
Can confirm.
But you know what? Then I always say to, like I say to people who are, my relationship's so shitty, but I don't want to break up with her because.
No, never drag it out.
I say, listen. There is no good time for a breakup.
There isn't.
There is never a good time for a breakup. Christmas fucking day. There's never going to be a good time. It's always going to be a new season. Fourth of July, Easter, Christmas vacation, holidays.
Birthdays. All of it,
It's always, there's always going to be an excuse. If you're making excuses to drag it out, it means you still want to be in the relationship. If it's December fucking 24th at 11:58.
And you realize it's
and
over.
And you realize it's over, break up with them right
over.
Then. Yeah. Trust me, everyone's
going to
be better for it. Yeah.
Be fair.
And then one guy told me, this is just recently, actually. He's like, well, then, Christmas becomes a shitty occasion for her because I broke up with her. And I'm like, you're thinking way too much of yourself,
one Christmas
bro.
Might be shitty.
Yeah.
But...
You're thinking way too much of yourself. I guarantee you're not going to psychologically damage someone's Christmas for life if you break up with somebody during Christmas season. Because we're all big boys and girls. We can handle it.
And it's true. Maybe she didn't buy you a gift yet and you're saving her the hassle.
That's true. You know what I often find? If you're looking to break up with her, she's probably looking to break up with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. It's a fact.
Yeah.
I very rarely in my life have experienced a breakup that wasn't expected or anticipated on both sides.
Both sides. That's
you know
right.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
On the occasion.
You can feel it.
Yeah. There's the occasional sneaky, like, oh, I've been sleeping with your sister this whole, you know, that kind of crazy stories.
You've been falling for my lies
yeah,
the whole
that's
time.
Right. I think that Christmas song from the Pogues is about a tortured relationship, by the way. Just,
yeah, he was serenading her from the drunk tank.
And then he was fist fighting her on the video.
I love it.
1982.
Christmas cheer.
1982. It was a different time. Most of our listeners probably weren't even born in 1982.
Probably not.
But that's okay. All right, tcbpodcast.com. That's where you go. You find out more information about the show. You can also watch the video and all the audio. It's right there from one location. The entire library. Don't go searching all over. Just go to the website and hit play. There you go. For those of you that have been asking, we will pick up on the audio scavenger hunt. That will happen in January. I'd like Chrissy to be here when we do that. So that's the reason why we've pushed it back. It will happen. We're just going to do it in January. It'll be the beginning of season 5 as
Yay.
Opposed to the end of season 4. TCB podcast on TikTok at the commercial break on Instagram. I'm going to cut that clip so we can have that here. The commercial break on Instagram, youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. If you'd like to watch any of our videos, we put out our full interviews there, clips every single day of the week. So please go there, subscribe, like on your favorite video, comment. My farts get more views than your channel. Yes, I agree with you. Call YouTube. Ask them to send us around a little bit more. And 626, ask TCB the number 3. That's 626, ask TCB the number 3. Questions, comments, concerns, content ideas, we're taking them all. It's toll free. Not to worry, we'll pick up the charges. You can also leave us a voicemail. But if you do, just be aware that we may use your voice. So if you leave a voicemail, don't leave information you otherwise wouldn't want out there in the world. And that's why we don't play these voicemails, because everyone leaves information I'm pretty sure they would rather not have. So guys, just be mindful. Okay, you got it? All right. Oh, and get your free piggy fronting sticker. Go to the website, contact us. Give us your physical address. We'll send it off. Okay. Thanks for sitting in the seat. I really appreciate it.
Anytime.
I love you.
I love you.
Best to you.
Best to you.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Tina and I always say we do say and we must say
goodbye.